Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brusten Nordman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Nordman.
It is a great day to be alive on this Wednesday. Kyle Brusten Nordman across ESPN Wisconsin. My name is Ben Brust. Alongside me, in a comfy, cozy sweatshirt. Stylish.
I was told to dress up for today.
For what?
Well, you didn't listen to Madison Hayes. Maddie Hayes, 24.
Oh, yeah, no, I was repping the gear, station gear. Madison Hayes, 24.
Mm. Yeah, you were repping the gear. That's why you did that.
I lucked into this one. Brad Nordman, longtime NFL punter, Super Bowl 50 runner-up.
This is technically me dressed up, too. I feel like we dressed up all based on our already set style.
Kyle,
I'm a little surprised you didn't go a little bit more elevated, because you guys know I'm sort of the sports casual attire. I didn't wear any logos. I thought that was a step up.
Going
generic and easy on the eyes. Ben's wearing a polo, ESPN Milwaukee. That's totally on brand.
It's on brand.
Kyle, I'm surprised you didn't wear like something a little bit more flash.
I wanted to be hip and cool.
That's hip and cool?
Hell yeah, it's hip and cool. Actually, my lady told me to wear this.
Okay. I mean, it looks good.
I know.
It looks really good.
It's got me in it.
Strofe looks like he always does every day. Running the show.
Handsome.
I believe that's a TikTok purchase, correct?
Is that another one?
It's not. I swear.
This is a Target purchase. Oh. This is the flannel I wore on me and my girlfriend's first date.
You love flannels.
When you guys discussed wedding vows.
Wedding vows, politics.
Wait, did you say
finances?
Did you say the fall? Was your first date during the fall?
No, it was the winter so.
So you said it's a fall while you're wearing flannel, but you wore.
Yeah, but flannel is for the fall and winter. Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, man. This is right off the rip on the Carbless Talking text line. DJ in the Saw chiming in. Had a pleasure of going to Buck and Honey's great partner for a meet and greet. DJ in the Saw, it was a real pleasure to meet the Benjamin Brust last night at Buck and Honey's in Monona.
Wow.
My wife had three observations from our interaction with him. One, he's more handsome in person.
Yeah.
Two, he has soft hands.
You do have soft hands.
Is that good or bad?
That's a good thing.
I would never touch his hands. His hands are rarely have soap and water.
All right. Thank you, Kyle.
Do you wear lotion?
I do not. Only face.
Are they just clammy by nature? Mine are slightly clammy.
He says soft.
Yeah, but soft, like the like a soft.
Isn't clammy
moist
when
hands.
Like you used to sit in the bath like for 20 minutes as a child and they get
all. I thought clammy is more sweaty.
Yeah, more like moisturized. Weird.
Nah, just very soft.
Okay.
Number three, he's a bit tiny for a basketball player.
You are short.
What the heck, though?
Tiny is a tough word.
I didn't like tiny.
Tiny is
6 foot three quarters?
Never want a woman describe me as tiny.
Well, you're shorter than I am.
My baby ain't never called me tiny.
This isn't my baby. This is somebody else's baby.
I ain't never had no woman call me tiny neither.
Tiny.
I have heard a woman say, wish I was a little bit taller.
This is read into whatever you guys would like. Well, we're reading into it. Or at least I am, DJ. Thanks so much, and it was great meeting you. Please tell Kyle you're not hip after 30.
Oh, that's a lie. There's a lot of hip 30-year-olds.
You're a wannabe.
Get
us on the Carbless Talking text line, 800-990-3776. Where this is more. We're on YouTube at ESP Milwaukee and at ESP in Madison. And through 8 games, we know the record. 5-2-1 are the Green Bay Packers, about 9 games to go. So today and tomorrow, we're going to give away some awards, some mid-season awards. We're going to start with the offense. That'll be later on in the program. But we have to start with Evan Cohen, who joins Wilde and Tausch Tuesdays at 9:30. He's on Sportsmanlike every morning across ESPN Radio and on ESPN Wisconsin. He ranks his top 5 teams today who are a hot mess. Packers came in at number 5. Listen to Evan Cohen.
After they lost to the Cleveland Browns, earlier this season. Our buddy, ESPN Wisconsin, former Packer and Badger, Mark Tauscher, said, he said, and I thought, oh, that's interesting what he's saying. He's like, maybe this is a good thing for them. You get that bad loss out of the way. Everyone was hyping you on unsportsmanlike. They go to the Thursday night football game against the Commanders. They're on the air on Friday morning, and we are hyping that team like crazy. You need a little reset, and that gave them the reset. But I thought it was over. And I understand the Carolina Panthers have a winning record, but do you realize what's happened over the last now few days? They lost to the Panthers. Tucker Kraft, who's their number one weapon, is out for the season. And their next game is against the Philadelphia Eagles. Game on ESPN, Monday Night Football, of course. I'm sorry. For this week and this week only at 5-2-1, I had no choice but to put the Green Bay Packers on the list.
The list being a hot mess. Are the Green Bay Packers a hot mess? Do they deserve to be on the NFL Top 5 Hot Mess list from Evan Cohen, 800-990-3776?
Hell yeah, they're a hot mess, and here's why. First of all, when you're a hot mess, two important components. You got to be hot. So it's kind of, you know, there's a kind of a benefit to be on this list. You got to be hot. Mina Kimes has said that this team is certainly hot, kind of like from the movie She accurately said, there's a lot of hot characteristics about this team. But when it comes to the mess portion of it, completely nailed it. And honestly, too, it's a mess that you can't necessarily fix with a lot of ease. Tucker Kraft, we already know that. Maybe the hottest part, maybe the hottest attribute of the Green Bay Packers, gone for the season. That's not easy to fix. Not going to be easy to replace him in any capacity. Not only that, though, the inconsistency, playing down to opponents, up and down, up and down. How do you just change that midseason? You can't. Those kind of things are discipline, execution. Those seeds are sown in the offseason, in training camp. They're developed by the type of guys you have in there and the things that you have done leading up to this point. To say that the Green Bay Packers just over the next 9 weeks can change the culture and change how they approach things, inconsistencies, there is no easy fixes. So not only are they hot, they're smoking hot, but they are a mess, and it's a mess that makeup just can't easily fix.
Yeah, I disagree. The Green Bay Packers aren't a damn hot mess. The Green Bay Packers are going to be fine. They'll be okay.
Because they only
lost two games. You know what? I tell y'all this right now. Everybody's in a panic. Alex Strofe was talking about the season's over because Kraft is hurt. Now we got Evan Cohen talking about the Green Bay Packers are a hot mess. Brad is sitting here where I'm not worried at all because at the end of the day, the Packers have Luke Musgrave still, who was a receiving threat. Do y'all realize on the one scoring drive the Green Bay Packers had against those Carolina Panthers?
Yeah, that was the key word there.
The one, they had none with Tucker Kraft in, and I'm not taking shots at Tucker Kraft because Tucker Kraft is an elite tight end. But what I'm saying is this, on that one scoring drive, guess what they did? They looked for their tight end and Luke Musgrave, the guy who was filling in, and he had three catches for 30 yards on that final drive that the Packers...
Sound the alarm!
But you can make jokes all you want, but when the Green Bay Packers moved to more up-tempo because they had to move the ball and they had to score a touchdown, Luke Musgrave all of a sudden filled the void and filled the role for Tucker Kraft. That's why we should be okay moving forward without Tucker Kraft. Again, it sucks not to have him because he is that dang good, but you got somebody who can fill the void as a receiving threat, and you got other guys around him that will make this okay. But then on top of that, yes, I understand they lost to the Browns, but guess what? They beat the Lions. Y'all told me don't say they beat the Commanders because the Commanders suck, but the
Correct.
Commanders were 1-0 at that point. We didn't know they were going to suck at that point. But the Green Bay Packers, everybody else, they've taken care of business even though they didn't beat the Cowboys. So again, are the Packers inconsistent? Hell yeah, but we should not count them out. They are not a hot mess whatsoever. A team who all of a couple days ago was the best team in the NFC record-wise is still first place of the NFC North is not a hot mess in the division. Not one team in this division is under 500. We not a hot mess when we on top of that.
But honestly, it's reflective of how hard the journey is going to be because they play seven times their division.
Cool.
They got if they're losing to the Carolina Panthers, seven? They got to dial it in very quickly.
Not 7-5. His math was off.
Five, yes. Yeah. Seven would be playing themselves as well in an inter-squad scrimmage. Five games will be playing the rest of the
league. They 1-0 so far. What are we talking about?
I'm just saying that they're not playing a brand of football that's going to go out there and lead me to give a lot of confidence that they're going to go 4-1
again. Can you hear?
I haven't said anything.
I'm doomed. Brad's trying to talk, and then you don't agree with him, so it's not the right opinion.
It's doom and gloom. We act like the Packers' two losses are what they are for the season. What about the five wins?
You called Jordan Love elite last week.
So did, and I do it again.
You stand by that Jordan Love is playing elite football.
His play caller and an elite play caller. I'll tell you that much.
These dudes ain't getting open. It continues to be an excuse.
Does an elite quarterback
throw? It was a first year, then it was injuries, and now it's his head coach.
Jordan Love, I'm telling you, the next step for Jordan Love is to tell Matt LaFleur, bumps whatever your play call was. We doing this.
Does an elite quarterback throw that ball to Christian Watson?
Yes. I've seen Brett Favre make a lot of super passes. I seen Brett Favre literally close his eyes and just, yeah! I seen Brett Favre get super cold in his last game as the Green Bay Packers at Donald somewhere. Here you go. Threw it right to the Giants. So, yes, elite quarterbacks make passes.
But he was Brett Favre.
And he's Jordan Love. Y'all see, y'all gonna stop playing on Jordan Love's name. That's what y'all gonna do.
Wow.
You see the world through a lens that is way different than, I believe, Brad and myself. I don't know about you, Strofe. Whose lens do you see it closer through?
Jordan Love is an elite quarterback.
That's my boy! We back!
We defined the elite.
Why did you run away from the microphone after you said that? I've never seen someone scurry away so fast in my life.
He's working. He has stuff to do. My boy, you don't
want him to talk because he's got no evidence to back it up, just like you have no evidence to back it up.
I'm slapping
hands.
We back like two flats on a Cadillac.
Wow.
So, three catches for 30 yards in a scoring drive for the Green Bay Packers for
when they needed somebody to step up.
Against the Panthers.
Oh, here we go.
Again,
they're an average football team, Kyle.
Here we go.
Part of what Evan Cohen had talked about was you're playing the Eagles, who are the reigning Super Bowl champions. Are they flawed? Sure. But you know who's shown they're more flawed? The Green Bay Packers and the way they lost those two games, 13.5-point favorites against the Carolina Panthers, being up 10-0 with 10 minutes to go against the Cleveland Browns. And we've all scratched our head about Matt LaFleur with play calling, time management, leadership, the penalties. So it's hard for me to sit here and just be like, yeah, it's all great. They're going to be fine. Sure, they might be fine, but fine isn't good enough. Fine doesn't equal more success than you've had the last 2 years after moving on from Aaron Rodgers. For a franchise that hasn't been to a Super Bowl since 2010, they took a huge hit by losing Tucker Kraft, which I believe is close to what Alex Strofe was saying. He didn't say the season was over, but it took a huge hit.
He said no Super Bowl. The season's over.
He did not say that the Super Bowl was over.
Would you like to go on record, Strofe?
We've literally replayed the audio yesterday, so I know he has it saved. Am I right,
Strofe? No, he said it with us.
What happened yesterday is about as bad as it could have been, and if it wasn't Jordan Love or Micah Parsons. I think that's the worst injury that could have occurred outside of those two names. The admission from Matt LaFleur last week of, yeah, we'd be foolish not to build our offense around him. After, to your point, something that he said for 3 years is we spread the ball around, and last week he finally said, yeah, we're going to build our offense around him. Obviously, they can still win football games, and they can still score points without Tucker Kraft. I'm not saying that's impossible, but I think your championship hopes dwindled quite a bit.
Dwindled.
The
championship's hopes dwindled.
He said they can't win in the Super Bowl.
See, again, I don't know why you're trying to find something that isn't there.
Well, we're going to take that boy. We talked for 3 minutes, and we heard
saying that's impossible,
seconds.
But I think your championship hopes dwindled quite a bit.
That was a cut. Quite a bit. That was quite a bit.
Now, again, you're searching for something when we're literally just trying. He's trying to make a point of when
he's,
you lose
he's
Tucker
to stay
Kraft.
On your side, Kyle.
Yeah, why are you trying to go against me now?
No,
you
I'm
just said
to,
we were back like two no. flats on a Cadillac.
We are back. But Ben's trying to turn us against each other. Don't buy into that. Don't play that game.
You're
no
yelling
more.
At me and saying I said the season was over. I never said that.
He didn't, and I'm literally was saying he didn't say that.
He said the season was over. The way y'all talk, it says the season's over. The season's not
Why
over.
Why are you against everybody?
What is with you right
because
now?
If you're not with Kyle's opinion, you're against?
The energy here, we set it up all wrong. Y'all go, the first thing we do today for KBN Nation, we play Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike.
No, the first thing we did today was compliment your sweatshirt.
That's true. Very handsome. But
short-term memory.
It's very true. But then after that, we played a clip of somebody calling our Green Bay Packers a hot damn mess.
Because they kind
they
of
are.
No,
not
they
kind
a
of are
mess.
Right now.
Right well,
now?
How would you
right
describe
now.
Them?
Right now, they lost the game. Ooh.
Well, Kai, hold on. I want to go back to something Brad said. Which, Brad, I don't know how much experience you have with hot messes, but I think you kind of almost perfectly explained what a hot mess is. In order to be a hot mess, Kyle, you got to be what?
Hot.
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 That's not true.
Or else you're not a hot mess.
That's not
ugly mess.
You're just
a
mess.
They're not an ugly
mess. You're just a mess.
Yeah, you don't even
mess.
Get the adjective before you use the mess.
You'd just be Strofe's apartment.
Well, that was
just a mess.
My apartment's very clean. Thank
I don't
want
to get into the semantics of it because the sports talk. I just want y'all to know I don't think only hot people are a hot mess.
Okay but Kyle.
You are doing the semantics of it.
I'm willing to get into the semantics. I'm just saying we could get at a point in 3 or 4 weeks where we're looking at the Packers and we go, damn, they're hot. They got a little Botox. They got their hair colored. All of a sudden, they're just hot now. They're a little bit of a mess.
When shopping, new outfit.
I would say they're hot, but right now, you know, things aren't going their way. We all had bad days. It was a bad day. We not a mess, though. A mess is just a disaster.
You gotta admit there's a little bit of drama. They're hot, but there might be a little spice behind that.
Oh, boy. Packers, I need y'all to win on Monday. I don't know why I'm looking up to God. God ain't the Packers. Packers, I need y'all to win on Monday to shut everybody up, to get all this done. Because all it was, last Sunday, it was, the Packers are this, the gang. Oh, my goodness. And now all of a sudden, they lose to the Carolina Panthers. Now they're a damn hot mess.
Dave from Aaron chimes in. Kyle, you're acting out right now. This is what you're doing.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying.
This was another example.
The sky is not falling, KBNA.
This was another example of Kyle literally arguing with himself when Strofe was actually on his side, and then he didn't want him to be on his side. It was very weird.
I'll be honest, too. If they win on Monday night, that would be the perfect. I'd be more convinced they're a hot mess.
Correct.
Only a hot mess would lose at home to the Carolina Panthers and then beat the Philadelphia Eagles at home. That's the definition of a hot mess.
Correct.
So you want them to win. That would just help our argument even more.
They're
a hot mess.
I'm going back to my childhood being called a hot mess. And let me tell you, it was because
you were called a hot mess. I think we scratched a little bit of scab here.
I was called a hot mess because, listen, you're smart, but like your homework assignment, like you got it stuffed in your backpack instead of in your folder, your shoes untied, like get it together. You're a hot mess right now.
JB and the V chimes in. Kyle's Packers takes are a hot mess. 800-990-3776. That's the Carbless talking text line.
So you're saying I'm hot, huh?
That's what JB and the V is saying. You're a hot mess with your Packers takes. We'll continue on discussing the Green Bay Packers. No semantics if they're a hot mess or not, but they're definitely hot and they're definitely a mess. We can keep those separate if you want, Kyle. More next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
We were going to extend more invites, but I just jumped the gun for some reason at the meeting because I thought I was being like funny and personable, and I just don't know how to read the room. I was like, oh, this guy who doesn't know me is going to think it's hilarious that I'm with Josh, and I'm saying, hey, Josh, you didn't get the first round invite. Suck it.
How in what world would that person find that funny, though?
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
He's trying to get under your skin, and it worked. Your eye roll.
This is disrespectful. Remember this.
Wow.
Remember this. This is supposed to be a Packer fan. This is what he's doing?
Just playing a song to get a reaction out of you. I think that's what a good producer does.
No.
Kyle Brustin-Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Kevin in Sheboygan chimes in. No one in the history of sports talk has been more loud wrong than Kyle Wallace about the Packers. Today it's Jordan Love being elite. Love has been great. On the verge of elite. But shut up, Stro. Now you're trolling for real. And he hasn't won anything. He has not been consistent long enough to be elite. He has the potential, not there yet.
How do you pound the table all the time? That hurt my hand.
Well, you don't open hand it. You do the closed fist.
Yeah, closed fist downward.
Practice.
Pad on your hand.
Yeah, you're a little slow.
Yeah, of course he would be like, blah, blah, blah.
I'm not loud wrong like Kyle.
Get us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. Dan Orlovsky is upset with Matt LaFleur. I know a lot of people are upset with Matt LaFleur based off the way the game went on Sunday, but Dan Orlovsky gave his opinion on why he's upset.
I love Matt LaFleur, okay? I feel like we're trending towards a direction where we're too dependent on creativity. Like, we'll out-scheme or out-create things for people. Sometimes it is about just going and calling basic plays and out-executing people or out-physicaling people. And there's so much of this, like, look how cool this design is. And I love Matt. He's outstanding. He's an unbelievable coach. But sometimes I'm like, we can just line up and run normal plays occasionally instead of, and I feel like they're too dependent on that.
That was Dan Orlovsky on the Pat McAfee Show. And he and Kyle Wallace are not so different because he said, I love Matt. I love Matt twice. And then proceeded to tell Matt everything that he thinks he's doing wrong. And I identify with some of the things that that Dan Orlovsky is saying there of like, there just needs to be a little bit more simplicity. Not everything has to be so damn cute.
Yeah, I mean, let your players play. When it comes down to it, that's when guys play at their best. They play free. They play without thinking. And there's a certain level of paralysis that can tend to seep in when guys are thinking too much. I almost wondered that with Jordan Love, right? Because it seems like there are times when he's trying to execute Matt LaFleur's offense maybe too much. And if Matt LaFleur is putting too much in there, then maybe it's just not letting him play and letting his skills go. My concern is there's two reasons why Matt LaFleur would be doing this, right? Why is Matt LaFleur overcomplicating things, trying to out-scheme you, trying to be complicated? There's two reasons. One is he just doesn't believe in his players that they can win their one-on-one battles. Because if he did, I think the Philadelphia Eagles do that really well, where she's like, and the Lions too, they do some complication stuff, but they just say, I think we can beat you one-on-one, our O-line, your D-line. Our receivers, your D-backs, running game, whatever it is. So either Matt LaFleur doesn't
believe. They do line up and say, we're just going to do what we do.
We're just going to do what we do, and you have to try to stop it. Either Matt LaFleur doesn't believe in his players. I don't think that's the case, though. I think this one's the case. He's trying to prove that he is smarter than everybody else, right? Because why would he do that? He does that because that is what he brings to the table. That is why he was hired as the Green Bay Packers head coach. Matt LaFleur, resurrect Aaron Rodgers' career, and when that's over, take the baton to the next quarterback and set him up in a way that we can have our third quarterback in a row. And I think that Matt LaFleur knows that when you go down the coach's report card that we've talked about ad nauseum over the last week on this program, his best grade is play calling. So when you do that, when you know that what you are dominant in, what your expertise is in, you lean further into that when things are starting to go a little bit wrong, I think he's doing that. I think he's just trying to prove he is the scheming guy. He is the person that is the creation of brilliant game plan guy, and he's just going overboard with it. Pull it back a little bit. You have nothing more to prove, Matt LaFleur, other than just letting your guys play. I don't think he doesn't believe in his players. I think he feels like he needs to prove something because his image is this offensive mastermind.
Yeah, I'm on the side of he just needs to simplify things. Football ain't about being cute. Football's about being dominant, right? The Detroit Lions, they do some cute stuff, but they also purely dominate people when they do that cute stuff, right? The Green Bay Packers don't just have that dominant gene inside them quite yet, but I think that's because of who their football coach is. Matt LaFleur still seems
like... You said quite yet. Is it possible to develop that after 7 years?
Matt LaFleur may not be able to, but boy, oh boy, I feel like we have some guys on this team that have a little bit of an edge and a personality.
I'm not saying that the team doesn't, but the head coach will be the one that gets that out of him. If he can't do it, that's the scary part.
Because that's not who he is. I think he still is trying to prove himself, right? When he didn't have a quarterback like the likes of Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers, what did he do? Well, Malik Willis, he just simplified things, right? He made it so we were run heavy, use play action fake, and told the quarterback, make smart decisions, don't turn the ball over, because if you don't turn the ball over, that helps us win the football game. It gives the other team's offense less opportunities to score, and that's exactly what he executed. I feel sometimes because of the fact that he understands that Jordan Love has so much immense talent and the potential to do so many things with his arm strength, and he says, all right, well, let's try this, versus saying, you know what? Maybe we should just methodically move the ball downfield and take what the defense gives us, versus saying, let's take a big shot. Let's do our big shot play here. That is the biggest issue that I think Matt LaFleur has. He has two talented guys, Brad, at quarterback, which makes for him to try some different things versus focus on let's just getting in the end zone. So it's hard for me to understand how a coach was able to do what he did with Malik Willis to make Malik Willis look like a competent NFL quarterback, and Malik Willis being more than a game manager, somebody who understood how to, you know, check down here, you know, use my legs here, don't make a bad pass there. And then we have Jordan Love, who can be magnificent, but he puts Jordan Love in positions where he's not setting him up for success every single play. You can go back through and watch that football game and watch the All-22 over the top. You'll see that Jordan Love wasn't put in a position to succeed every time he dropped back to pass the football, whether it was bad offensive line play or the fact that nobody got open or it was just a bad play call. A lot of that doesn't fall on Jordan Love. We put it on his shoulders, but at the end of the day, if you watch the All-22, if you actually really dig deep, you'll find that a lot of times just – it was a bad play call, and Jordan Love has to make the most of it. So the Green Bay Packers need for Matt LaFleur to simplify things and stop trying to get so dang cute.
Yeah, that's – Brad hit it. I mean, when I think about the successful offenses and schemes and coaches that are successful, there's like a plan within the plan within the plan, right? And I feel like right now the plan is to be so cute all the time when there's none of like – what football is truly built on, right? Like, we are going to dominate you at this, and it's setting up this. And it speaks to how they weren't able to have success last year with one of the more dominant run games in the NFL. A lot of head coaches, even if changing from an outside style with Aaron Jones to more inside, would be able to find a way to take advantage of the fact that Josh Jacobs was mowing people down, and they never really had that great of a play-action game. And so where is Matt LaFleur from a it's the age-old question, culture, identity, who is he? Who does he want to be? Because the way the team looks is it changes. Just like he changes. As you said, he's got an imposter syndrome. He's kind of a chameleon. In this game, we're going to do this. In this game, there needs to just be, this is how we're going to attack teams week in and week out, and then we're going to build off how we are attacking teams. There are no. You talked about the view in the all 22, and you can see the play calls. Yeah, I mean, it speaks to the fact that it's literally behind the line of scrimmage, sideline to sideline, or we're taking a deep shot. There's none of that intermediate game, which I think Jordan Love is actually pretty good at, and that could be the guys aren't winning the one-on-one matchups, or the play caller that's supposed to be scheming guys open aren't getting them open in the spots where Jordan Love can deliver. Because he's talented back there, and when he has time, we know he delivers. And when he doesn't, he does a pretty good job not getting sacked and making some plays.
It just seems like a strange next conclusion for Matt LaFleur. If things aren't going well, let's make it more complicated. If anything, you dial it back and say, let's get back to the basics. Because, you know, the other argument could be, well, the Kansas City Chiefs do a lot of cute stuff. They do a lot of things that are unique. I would say that they do that, though, on the back of doing the basics right. Right, they try to establish the run game. They get Patrick Mahomes completions throughout the game, and then they selectively and try to intuitively place these little cute plays throughout. It's not the whole game plan. It's a portion of it. It's a slice of it, but it's not the whole thing. If you sprinkle those in, but you're focusing on how do we establish the run? How do we work run pass off one another? I still feel like to this point, Josh Jacobs in the running game and Jordan Love in the passing game, it feels like two different things.
They're both too capable of doing good things with each other that we haven't seen come together.
We have not seen the running game and the passing game like marry one another so that you can use the pass to set up the run and use the run to set up the pass. And I just don't understand why that's the case. It feels like Matt LaFleur's conclusion is then, I'm just going to scheme a little bit more as opposed to let's establish the run, let's get easy completions, let's get into a rhythm, and then maybe we get to more
complicated. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text line. Dave from Aaron, I agree, Brad. I mean, he is from this elite Shanahan tree, blah, blah, blah. Quit the cute. They will never see this play coming and just play the damn game. What happened to the slant? That was Green Bay's bread and butter for 30-plus years.
It really was.
And Matthew Golden is a hell of a slant and Romeo Doubs. And
where is the slant? That's a great question.
But then in addition to that, when the Green Bay Packers were limited and they had to just hand the ball off, they found success with Malik Willis last year. I understand people are loading up the box, but guess what? The Green Bay Packers went against a team last week where they just kept handing the ball off to Rico and they ran it down our throats and they were able to pop so many different plays. 40% of the time, he was getting 5 yards every time he touched the ball last week. You can't tell me that the Green Bay Packers offensive line and the Green Bay Packers running back and Josh Jacobs can't do that. That's what we just need to say. You know what? We're going to do this and try to stop us.
You know, the one thing that I'm not going to try to stop doing is stop grabbing a nice cold Carbless, because whenever I kick back, relax, go to the Norton Estate, I walk down my stairs to the fridge, there is an array of Carbless. I can see it in my mind's eye right now because everything about Carbless I love, I know, and I trust. You know, there's this push for like, what is in my food? What is in my drinks? Well, I'll tell you what, within that Carbless can, there is everything I trust. I know the ingredients and I trust those ingredients. That's because Carbless, it looks for a guilt-free experience. No carbs, no sugars, no gluten, 100 calories per can, and the perfect amount of carbonation. It truly must be tasted to understood how good that is. All the ingredients I know and I trust, and not only that, and there's truly a flavor for everybody and every occasion. Margarita, the original margarita, still probably my OG. All so many different margarita varieties, though. The fruit flavors, I'm telling you what. The Tropical Bliss Variety Pack, so unbelievably good. If you haven't tried the orange one of that, oh my goodness, unbelievable. And of course, all the OG flavors, there's just something for everybody. So if you are going through your grocery store today or you're watching the game tonight, go ahead, crack open a Carbless, grab it at the local grocery store, and experience why Liss is more with Carbless.
Is LaFleur coaching for his job? That's what I have here on the Carbless Talk and Text line. We'll hit that next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
800-990-3776. Say that again.
What a radio pro.
He's so...
Say that again. nobody said a word.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Stacy's chiming in. 414. Man, I can see why Rogers was changing the plays now. Don't fault him. Ben Bruss, Kyle
Love
Wallace.
Love you to follow suit.
Brad Nortman. I think Rogers earned that a little bit over more time and equity.
Yeah. It's time for Love to do it now.
I don't know. If Love's changing the plays at the line, that doesn't elicit much confidence in me. I feel good with Rodgers doing it when he's, 20 years in.
20 years in?
What was he, 15 years in? Whatever.
No, I'm saying he was doing it for years.
Way after he won a Super Bowl.
I mean, I'm sure. I can't recall how far it was after Super Bowl he started doing it.
Probably towards the staleness of Mike McCarthy's
that's
tenure.
True. That's true. I was thinking more of Matt LaFleur, but yeah, that's true.
Let's go to Diana McGuanago, 800-990-3776 on the Carbless Talk and Text Line. You're with Kyle Bruston Nortman and Dirty D.
I think he's playing for his job. Him and Goody don't have that great of a relationship, do they?
Who's playing for their job?
Coaching?
LaFleur.
Oh, he's coaching for his job. You think he is?
Yep.
Well, I think that's got to be quantified. Like,
yep.
Yep.
That's what she said. Yep.
Yep. When Matt LaFleur took over, shot out of a cannon. 3-13 win seasons, 2 number one seeds, 2 NFC championship games. The 2022 season we know with Aaron Rodgers was a disaster. For a plethora of reasons. I don't think that's worth re-legislating. I don't put that one on LaFleur. 2023, they were 3-6. He turned it around, which was wonderful because we all thought it was dead. And they beat the Cowboys. Last year, good season. Lost to the eventual champions. If he loses again in the first round with a new president, is he on the hook? Like, is that it? Because, I mean, you're sitting in the NFC North lead right now, but a lot can change, and you have a tougher part of your schedule coming up.
You know, I think about what Barry Alvarez said yesterday from the Barry Alvarez show on Monday night. Now, he was talking about how do you evaluate a coach from an AD perspective of college football. I think it can be used here, though. The question that Barry Alvarez said, is the team getting better or worse or staying the same? And if we're talking about Matt LaFleur, we're talking about him coaching for his job, I think he's got to win a playoff game in order for him to be back in 2026. I'm sure Ed Policy is thinking the same exact thing because he's looking at this, evaluating Brian Gutekunst, evaluating Matt LaFleur. Brian Gutekunst, are you getting better at drafting? Are you getting better at free agency? Are you getting better at trading? I think Brian Gutekunst has provided that he's actually is improving, is maybe changing his ways and making splashes. See Micah Parsons and Matthew Golden. But Matt LaFleur, we're talking about the same issues that we've talked about in previous years. We're talking about potentially the same results if they get to the playoffs and don't win a game. So to me, if Matt LaFleur needs to go to the playoffs and win a playoff game to be back, and more than being back, that would earn him an extension that he's looking for, that Packer fans want him to get. But if he does just the same thing over and over again, which let's be honest, they were 7 seeds the last couple of years. That didn't even exist 10 years ago. They would have missed the playoffs in those days. He needs to show a level of improvement with a maturing team, with a maturing quarterback that has high, true Super Bowl expectations. That is a minimum bar. Win one playoff game for Matt LaFleur to get that extension. Anything less than that, I think Ed Policy is saying, I think I can do better elsewhere.
Yeah, if Matt LaFleur doesn't win a playoff game this year, he's gone. He legitimately is coaching for his job. If they don't make the playoffs, he's for sure fire. If they make the playoffs and he doesn't win a playoff game, then he has to go. And it's okay. Like, I know a lot of people are, well, he had a winning record. Well, it's not just about winning. At a certain point, you're focused on winning championships. You have to capitalize and take advantage of this opportunity in this window that you have with this Green Bay Packers football team where they have legitimate team to win a Super Bowl. And if Matt LaFleur can't get them over the hump, then you have to find somebody else that can do that. So is he coaching for his job? Absolutely. Absolutely. And it ain't just about making the playoffs. It's about winning a playoff game. The Packers don't win a playoff game. Matt LaFleur will probably be gone from the Green Bay Packers.
Tom chimes in on the Carbless Talking text line. I think I mentioned this yesterday, but it's always worth reiterating. LaFleur said there are 10 games left in the season. They are 5-2-1. Guess what? There's 9 games. He's rattled for sure. Tom and Racine. Let's go to Marcus in West Bend. You're up on the Carbless Talking text line with Kyle Bruss-Nortman. If LaFleur doesn't win a playoff game, is he out of here?
I don't think so, but obviously it seems like people have made up their minds. And on Monday, Kyle said that there was a bunch of assistant coaches and coaches out there that could get at the Packers where they want to be, but could he list some of them? Because I don't know what coach would be out there that could replace LaFleur and get instant success.
I mean, when you think about it, there's a new coach that comes up all the time in the NFL. You look at the Indianapolis Colts with Shane Steichen, I believe his name is.
Steichen.
I mean, 2 years ago you would have thought, oh, is there a coach that can get them to 7-2? Like, there's always an up-and-coming coach. D'Amico Ryan's what he's been able to do down with the Texans.
Give me Joe Brady, by the way.
I would say Joe Brady, offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills. He's seemed a way to get the most out of Josh Allen.
National champ.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
What about something the Badgers should have done but didn't do, and that's promote...
Mike McCarthy?
No.
Jim Leonard.
Oh, well done. Promote their defensive coordinator. What about Jeff Hafley?
No. Ooh. I wouldn't do that.
Really?
No, I wouldn't promote Jeff Hafley. Absolutely.
You just want
not.
A clean slate?
Here's the thing, though. The Packers are going to win the Super Bowl, so...
You're in a weird, goofy drop-in mood.
Roller coaster ride back there this week, Strophy. Absolute roller coaster ride. We just heard the audio of him saying the championship window or...
Dwindling.
Dwindling.
Championship hopes are dwindling after Tucker Kraft tore his ACL.
And now we're saying winning the Super Bowl.
I'm going to go back and listen. He definitely said they weren't going to win the Super Bowl. Y'all let that edit.
Ryan chimes in. Edits. He wouldn't extend Matt LaFleur unless he makes the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow. That's a high standard.
Ryan, Packers are like the Steelers. Happy with a winning record, nothing else.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if it was us as fans, Mike Tomlin would have been fired too.
But Mike Tomlin's won a Super Bowl.
And he's never finished under 500, which is
crazy.
Let's
get to Scott in Middleton. Scott, bring the heat. What do you got on the Carbless Talking text line?
Hey, guys. The NFL is a bottom line business, right? Bottom line business. Even though LaFleur is very highly regarded, I think we can all say that he's probably in the top third of NFL coaches. He has not won a championship yet, and I think, like you guys said before, there are always other options. There's always a young up and comer. There's always some hot coordinator, someone else that they can find. So I would say yes, if he does not win a playoff game, he is likely out.
Yeah, I think that's fair. They're also, and I'm glad Ron texts us in, because you always got to look on is the grass greener on the other side. I don't know about if there's far more coaches, but he says there are coaches that come up and suck as well.
I think it's far more.
Well, I should also say, too.
But it's about the situation you're coming into. There's a lot of coaches that come up and take new jobs.
Sure.
And then they end up in a situation where they don't have a quarterback or an infrastructure you're saying you get Jordan Love and Micah Parsons.
It's a highly sought-after job.
Serious drop-in, although my drop-ins haven't been very serious.
Okay,
today.
I'm glad you have to qualify your drop-ins now.
Middle of the week, hump day, feel a little weird. We'll see. Anyway, serious drop-in. Serious drop-in.
I see where you're going there.
Here's the thing with LaFleur is, and I said this earlier in the year when things were starting to turn around, it was after the Cleveland loss. If the Packers were to move on from Matt LaFleur, I think probably 16 to 20 teams would line up and say he's better than the guy we have right now at this very moment. The other part of this is, with LaFleur, is he still deserves credit for what he did in 23. You talk about the situation now, Jordan Love and Micah Parsons. He had a roster that nobody knew anything about, and he won a playoff game with them. So it's not like it's not somewhere in there for Matt LaFleur, somewhere in the noggin, somewhere in the heart. It just isn't clicking this year.
You just lost to a team with the Carolina Panthers with Dave Canales. Yeah, he look what he was able to do. He was able to game plan with a team that was of lesser talent and come to Green Bay and win. And he was known as an offensive mind before he got there. And, I mean, Bryce Young ain't good. So, I mean, I'm just saying, there's other guys out there. Just because he's the guy we have doesn't mean he's the best guy out there. You just get so comfortable with what you have because you're okay with it being, you know, status quo. So that's what that comes down to. But you know who isn't status quo, but who has a long tradition in the community? American Family Insurance. And if you're looking for homeowners insurance or car insurance, or you're looking to bundle it all to save up to 25% or more, then you should go to AmFam.com, because at AmFam.com, and when you work with American Family Insurance, you realize that life is better when you have a home and auto policy with American Family Insurance. That's because they're always there to protect your dreams, from hosting a family reunion in a new home or to taking your family on a road trip in a new minivan. It feels good to know that you are protected. Whether a hailstorm comes or something happens, because accidents do happen, it's good to know that you have homeowners insurance or car insurance like American Family Insurance, who will protect you. So always know, insure carefully and dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Visit AmFam.com today to find an agent near you, or to get an instant quote online. That's AmFam.com today.
Brad Nortman is going to give away some awards at 3 o'clock.
That is our ceremony host, MC, celebrity MC, like he was a couple weeks ago for Bank 5-9. Brad,
yeah.
Nortman to you.
Now, not all these awards are going to be like, hey, you want to bring this award home.
No.
So I want to at least set everyone up to know what to expect on the other side. It's Kyle Bruston-Ortman. Don't go anywhere. We're giving away awards. Some you want, some you don't. Next.
This is Kyle Bruston-Ortman.
Do you think?
Nope.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Coming to terms with a broken heart. I guess that sometimes good things fall apart.
Before we get to Brad Nortman's award show, this was a weird, sad song in my ear.
We're talking about LaFleur maybe getting fired. Sometimes good things fall apart.
Your music selections have been trash today.
I feel like they've been very on
called
theme.
Into question?
They've been on theme. The last one was Take This Job and Shove It?
I'm actually not getting at you. I was just making an observation, and next thing you know, Kyle goes, your music sucks.
Yeah, it's not a vibe.
In a segment where you were talking about Jordan Love, I followed up with Love Stinks. Funny. Then you were talking about LaFleur maybe getting fired. I played Take This Job and Shove It. Funny.
I didn't understand the last one I was
listening. And now we're talking about LaFleur maybe getting fired, and I said good things fall apart after I was just vouching
for it. People are turning the station because the music sucks.
People are turning the station because you are flip-flopping harder than you've ever flip-flopped.
It's
not accurate today.
Text line speaks for itself. I trust KBN consistent. Nation. Jason and Tosa, 800-990-3776. You're up on KBN.
Hey, guys. This is year 7 for Matt LaFleur. Mike Holmgren and Mike McCarthy won their Super Bowls in year 5. Every coach at some point has a shelf life. Vince Lombardi did. Bill Belichick did. I would ask you, if you went around the other three teams in the NFC North, I mean, I just heard that everyone would want to hire Matt LaFleur. I would bet that Viking fans would rather have O'Connell. Bears fans are pretty pleased with Ben Johnson. And I sure as heck don't think Detroit fans would want Matt LaFleur over Dan Campbell. And I also heard back in 2017, 2018, that we have to really be careful about moving on from Mike McCarthy, because, you know, he won a Super Bowl and he's just a great coach and every franchise would want him. Well, that didn't turn out to be true. He had to sit out a year and he went to be Jerry's yes man for a few years and never really did anything. Matt LaFleur looks like a deer in the headlights this year. I'm sorry, when you lose as more than a touchdown favorite to the Browns and almost two touchdown favorites at home to the Panthers, and you score 10 and 13 points, and offense is supposed to be your area of expertise, I'm ready to move on. It might change, but I like what Brad said. Even if they win on Monday, I don't have any confidence that they'll beat the Giants the following Sunday.
Jason and Tosa, I thought that was
a good call. That was well said.
Very well put. I mean, it's interesting. Because, yeah, moving on from McCarthy, and we could all act like we all saw 13 win seasons, three seasons in a row coming, but the 28th best offensive coordinator in the league with the offense of the Titans. Now they are the Titans. But that wasn't something we're like, okay.
Yeah, I was surprised if they were back.
It was. But that's the thing is, again, this is all hypothetical if with what we've seen from the Packers thus far. Do you feel really confident week to week right now? No, you don't know what you're going to get. That's part of the story. Can he win a playoff game? Yeah, he can. But I don't know if you feel confident in it. And if he doesn't, all those things of the way they lost in the way in which they lost in the them being touchdown and two touchdown favorites, the 10 points that they were up in 3 minutes to scoring 13 points against the Carolina Panthers, who had been giving up a lot of points in the last couple weeks. It's so Jekyll and Hyde right now that it's hard to put the pulse on Matt LaFleur, and it's hard to believe in him that through nine games, as you were talking about Brad, can you change your identity as a team this far into the year after losing your heart and soul as a tight end, Tucker Kraft?
I mean, it's a challenge. The only hope is that Jordan Love just catches fire. And maybe Micah Parsons, too, to have your superstars really play like all-pro guys. Because I don't think the foundation of discipline, of avoiding penalties, of being up for whatever your opponent is. I mean, there's just the Packers have no... They have no excuse for the losses that they had. Now, again, we have to, you know, tip your cap to them for beating the Lions, but I just think that this team, it doesn't look like a Super Bowl championship team. It doesn't feel like they still don't have an identity, and it's very rare. It's very rare for a team to turn themselves around like this without a future Hall of Famer type performance, because we talk about the Green Bay Packers, right? In 2010, I think they were 8-6. And then they rolled off all the way to win the Super Bowl, right? They had the number one defense in the NFL that year. And you have Rodgers, who at that moment pivoted into a Hall of Fame career. So anything short of that, I don't see this team making a big splash in the playoffs because, again, they're down their best player. And there's just too many issues, cracks in the foundation.
And what a weird time to be doing an award show next, by the way.
Yeah, how about that?
Now, I do want to get this on the poll strophe on Twitter at KBNESPN because the way our caller laid that out, it was interesting to me. Do you think, and you can help me form this on poll because I trust your brain, do you think that the Vikings, Bears, or Lions would take Matt LaFleur over their current head coach? Because it's hard for me to make an argument right now for any other than the fact that the Bears have had a soft schedule and they're feeling hyped about Ben Johnson. But
hey, they're winning games.
They're winning games, and they haven't known what that's felt like since God knows when. Obviously, O'Connell just got extended, and there's a belief in them, especially after they just went in Detroit and won, and Dan Campbell's Dan Campbell. They believe in him. So I find that fascinating, and I do want to get to these awards because I know Brad and Strofe prepared. Kyle and I.
Oh, I can't wait.
Kyle and I don't. Do you know if these are good or bad?
No, I do not.
Why did you say that with a lack of confidence?
When you say good or bad, you mean
is this performance that you guys put on going to be good or bad?
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be outstanding.
Oh no, we got the guy who did Mr. Irrelevant / Wheel of Strofe, and he says every time it's going to be great. We also have here Brad out today, where he says every time
this is
going to
be the best hour of Brad's radio career.
I was going to say the next 30 minutes will be among the most memorable radio segments of any of your lives.
Why do you guys set too high of expectations and let us down all the time? We're going to find out if it let us down in 2 minutes.